Good morning. What did I miss? Merry Christmas, belated, Happy New Year. Did you get what you wanted? Are we too adult to want stuff for Christmas? I guess I haven't grown up yet. good to be with you all this morning. Why don't we pray and then read our Bibles? God, we come to you and we thank you because you are so good, kind and loving, and you give us these moments so we can gather together and read your word together. And every time we do that, we bank on the promise that your word is living and active, that you get inside of us when we read it, and that it is your word and you speak to us when we read it. So we ask that you would do that miracle in this moment. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right. Wanted to start this year off with a question, with asking ourselves a question throughout this month. The question is this: how can we become a church that is even more full of life in this coming year, in this year that's in front of us? How can we become the people of God that are more full of God's life? We are, and you can look around, it's obvious. We are God's people. We're full of life. And yet, how can we do that more? How can we focus together and individually on being God's people, full of God's life? And today I want to start with asking this question and looking in the Word at some examples of this. What should we be like? What should the church be like? How could we be? What could we be like as a church and then as individual Christians? And I think it's good to ask that question from time to time because, well, instead of what it could be, we get used to what it is. And many times what it is good enough, but it's not what it necessarily could be. Sometimes my family life with my brothers and sisters, we call each other brothers and sisters because we're part of God's family, becomes just, you know, a couple of, hey, how you doing on Sundays? And that's it. That's my family life. Sometimes my intimacy with God can easily become praying when bad stuff is about to happen to me. Sometimes my worship of the Savior can easily become, well, watching other people sing to Jesus for half an hour on Sundays. My study of the Word can become listening to someone go on for a half an hour or so. It's been 3 weeks. You've given me 3 weeks to prepare a sermon. You shouldn't do that. Preachers don't need that long, so who knows how long today will be. But sitting for half an hour and listening to someone else talk about the Word of God, my speaking the gospel can easily, to people who are far from God, can easily kind of morph into, I talk about what's wrong in society with my friends and politics, especially this year. So, you ever seen signs of that in yourself? That things just kind of wane and they become maybe what they less than what they should be. We easily could forget what the body of Christ, what church should be, could be, and what walking with God truly could be. And when we do that, life flows out of, instead of into, our relationship with the Savior. Life slowly starts leaking out of our church instead of flowing into our church. So today, I just want us to look at a couple of examples and in the spirit of not going for forever this morning, I trimmed them down significantly before I sent you the verses, so you have what we're going to read. But I trimmed them down significantly. Just open the Bible. What was the first church like? What did it look like for them to follow Jesus and to be a group of people that were centered around the cross? And as we do that, my hope is that this will remind me and you, and it will remind us and inspire us and call us to more of what God has for us individually and as his body and for the people that surround us. As we read through, go to Acts chapter 2. As we read through, let's just try to identify some of the signs of life. The life in church and the church and the body of Christ and Christians comes from, well, let's look at what it comes from. Look at Acts 2. We're going to drop in very much in the middle. It's a day of Pentecost. They're celebrating the day of Pentecost in Jerusalem. That the Holy Spirit has just come upon the first followers of Jesus. They have been empowered to speak the gospel very publicly for the first time. And as they're wrapping that up, go to verse 36. Peter is saying, "Let all the house of Israel, therefore, know for certain that God has made him, and pause there, because they knew who the him was, because in the preceding verses, Peter has told them the story of Jesus, the Savior who came, the promised Messiah who came. God has made him both Lord and Christ, this Jesus whom you crucified. Now, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the rest of the apostles, brothers, what shall we do? They were together, God's follower, Jesus's followers were proclaiming the gospel of Christ. That's what Christians who are full of life together do. They proclaim the gospel together. They were doing that. And as we're starting to see, life in the church comes out of this proclamation of the gospel being proclaimed by the children of God that are part of his body. These people were cut to the heart. Why? Because they had heard the gospel. And then Peter said to them, verse 38, repent. Be back. What should we do? Repent. Turn to God, right? And be baptized. Let's be immersed in water. Every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. For the promise is for you, for your children, for all who are far off, everyone whom the Lord our God calls to himself. With many other words, he bore witness and continued to exhort them, saying, save yourselves from this crooked generation. Life, a body that is full of life, is a body of people that are constantly presenting that decision. Not just come to church with me, not just live a better life, not just make some good New Year's resolutions, not just make better decisions in your marriage, but this decision. There's death and there's life, and you're in death, and you need to come into life. And you come into life when you surrender to Jesus by repenting and being baptized. You're forgiven. You're made right with God. You're filled with his Spirit. That is what God's people who are full of life are putting before other people who are around them. So, verse 41, those who received his words were baptized. There were added that day about 3,000 souls. They came into life by making that decision. And then God brings growth to his people. Look at verse 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread, the prayers. They shared teaching, a body that is full of life. To be a body full of life, we have to be centered around the Word of God. We have to teach each other the Word of God. They shared the Word of God together. They shared life together. They devoted themselves. This was a doing it together thing. This wasn't just a half an hour on Sunday thing. This was a thing that they did as they went through life together. They centered themselves around the teaching, around breaking bread. That's the Lord's Supper. The cross of Christ united them. That was central in who they were and their identity. They prayed together. They prayed the word and prayer and the cross. That was central to who they were. It made them be a people full of life. Verse 43, and awe came upon every soul, and many signs and wonders were being done throughout the apostles. So they were known. They became known. It's this group of people who had a relationship with, they had a connection with God. They became known for their relationship with God and God's power that was flowing through them. Verse 44, all who believed were together and had all things in common. And they were selling their possessions and belongings and distributing the proceeds to all as any had need. They lived as a family. So when your dad needs something or your mom needs something, your brother needs something, or you know, ideally, not always, but ideally, you say, okay, you need that, I'll help you with that. That's what they did. Whenever anybody had needs, the needs were filled. Why? Because they were a family. They in a huge sign of them being a family, not just a group of people who came to the same building once a week, but they were a family as they shared and they fulfilled each other's needs. And no one had any need because they took care of each other. And day by day, verse 46, attending the temple together, breaking bread in their homes. So they got together collectively. They got together in their homes in smaller groups because 3,000 people wouldn't fit in anybody's house. They received their food with glad and generous hearts. They spent time together. Not everybody with everybody, obviously, right? Sometimes people say, well, I don't feel like I don't know anybody at church. Well, yeah, you can't know everybody. You can't have everybody into your home. I guess you could if you're really hospitable, but you can't have everybody. You can't live that close to everybody, but you can with some people, and they did. There was a big group, and then they got together in little groups. As they went through their lives, they shared their lives together. They ate together. That is the biggest sign of sharing life together. It's who do you eat with? Those are the people who are your family, who become your family. They lived as family together, praising God, verse 47, having favor with all the people. And the Lord added their number day by day, those who were being saved. So they were worshiping God as they were together, probably breaking out spontaneously into song as they were eating food together in their homes. And also, as they would come together collectively, they would sing. They were praising God, and God gave more and more life. The gospel took effect. They were a people who were full of the life of God. Jump over to Acts chapter 4. You can debate over lunch if we should have just ended it there, because they're kind of parallel passages, but they're both really good, and I couldn't decide. So, you know, who's your favorite child? Both. So we're going to read both of these. Acts chapter 4, verse 18. Interesting. Both passages start with they're proclaiming the word of God. They're proclaiming the gospel. That is fundamental. Don't miss that. It's not just we get together and we do stuff together and we hang out and we have a good time and they're proclaiming the gospel. That is central to being a body of people who are full of the life of Christ, at least for them. Verse 18, chapter 4 of Acts. So they called them. Who is the they? We're dropping in the middle of the story again. This would be a good story to hit rewind on as the last one and do a family devotion around and read the whole context. But Peter and John have been talking about Jesus, preaching the gospel, claiming the gospel to everybody around them. And they were called into the religious leaders who had just crucified Jesus. And now they were saying, he's Lord. And so there was an issue there. There was tension, and they were in danger because they were saying, this guy who you killed is actually God come to rescue us. And so then they called them in, and they had talked about this, and what are we going to do? What are we going to tell them? They called them, charged them not to speak or teach at all in the name of Jesus. But Peter and John answered them, whether it is right in the sight of God to listen to you rather than God, you must judge. For we cannot but speak of what we've seen and heard. They were proclaiming the gospel together, and they're saying, we're going to keep doing that. That's fundamental to who we are. We have to talk about Jesus. Not have to. It's they have to. I can't not do that. That's what they were saying. Look at verse 21. And when they had further threatened them, the most powerful people in their land, other than the Romans, were threatening them. They let them go, finding no way to punish them because of the people, for all were praising God for what had happened. So they really wanted to hurt them, but they couldn't because it wouldn't have been very popular in that moment. So they threatened the daylights out of them, and then they let them go. They were persecuted together for their faith. Being a body of people who are full of life is not just about sitting around and singing Kumbaya. Does anybody even sing that anymore? It's not sitting around a campfire and everything is great and we're doing wonderful things and, oh, the casserole you brought to the potluck was phenomenal and so was yours and it's all good. It's when we speak the gospel to each other and to others, and when we're known for that, and when we say Jesus is Lord and you are going to hell without him and you need to turn to him and surrender to him and make him the Lord of your life, and he will transform you and make you a new person and the child of God, persecution comes. People get opposed to that. That doesn't go unresisted. And a body full of life is a body that is persecuted and suffers together as they are sharing the word of God. When they were released, verse 23, look at what they did. They went to their friends and reported what the chief priests and the elders had said to them. So you arrest me and you take me to jail. You threaten me, make me fear for my life, and I get released. I don't know if I'm going to go to church, like call up my, you know, the people from church. I want to go home and take a shower, sit in front of the TV for a little bit, talk to my wife, just kind of get it, whatever the thing. That's not what they wanted to do. Why? They were a family. This is our family. They went to their brothers and sisters. They went to everybody who had been praying for them. They were a family. That's just a sign of what a family they were. And then look at what they did together. Look at verse 24. When they heard it, they lifted their voices together to God. Family full of life, praying to God together. Let's read the prayer. They said, Sovereign Lord, who made the heaven and earth, the sea and everything in them, who through the mouth of our father David, your servant, said by the Holy Spirit, why did the Gentiles rage at the people's plot in vain? The kings of the earth set themselves and the rulers were gathered together against the Lord and against his anointed. For truly in this city, they were gathered together against your holy servant Jesus, whom you anointed both Herod and Pontius Pilate together with the Gentiles and the people of Israel to do whatever your hand and your plan had predestined to take place. Now, Lord, look upon their threats. Grant to your servants to speak your words with all boldness while you stretch out your hand to heal and signs and wonders are performed through the name of your holy servant, Jesus. As a family, they prayed together. That's what a family of a church full of life does. They prayed together. And as they were praying, look at what they were praying for. Their unity was based not on we all like each other. We're all kind of the same. We're all going through the same stages of life. We get along. Their unity was based on we're God's children and we have the gospel and we want to take that to the people around us. Their unity was based on their mission together. That's what united them. And what they prayed for was not keep us safe. That's what I would have prayed for. It wasn't don't let anything bad happen to us, protect us. Should we go out? Should we talk about Jesus? It was help us go out and talk about you because that's what we're going to do. And we can't do that without you. And we need you to do that. They were asking God to continue in the mission that united them together. That's what drove them. They were seeking God's power and God's work amongst themselves. Church for them was not about, you know, whispering about who this person and that person and little gossip groups and little things and all the little, you know, infighting that happens sometimes in churches. That's not what it was about for them. It was about we have the gospel and together we want to take that to other people and we need the power of the Holy Spirit to do it. So they prayed together for that. And when they had prayed, verse 31, the place in which they were gathered together was shaken. They were all filled with the Holy Spirit and continued to speak the word of God with boldness. They were full of life. God filled them with his presence and his power, with his spirit. And together they spoke the word of God. This wasn't a Peter and a John thing. It wasn't just the apostles. It wasn't the guy with the microphone who was speaking the word of God to everyone around them. It was all of them were doing that. We're filling the Great Commission together. Now, the full number of those who believed were of one heart and soul, and no one said that any of the things that belonged to him was his own, but they had everything in common. See how that's repeated from chapter 2? And with great power, the apostles were giving their testimony to the resurrection of Jesus, and great grace was upon them all. There was not a needy person among them, for as many as were owners of lands or houses sold them and brought the proceeds of what was sold, laid it at the apostles' feet, and it was distributed to each as any had need. They were united. They lived together as a family. They took care of each other. That is a picture, two pictures, same church though. That is a picture of a church that was full of life, that was full of passion, that proclaimed the gospel, that proclaimed Christ crucified. That's what it looks like for a church, for a body of people to be united around the gospel. They were taking peace with God that they experienced, purpose in life that they experienced through God to those around them. It's a vision of a church, of a group of people who were living together as a united, true family. It was a group of people who saw the gospel, was seeing the gospel enter into the lives of the people around them. It was a church with baptisms and discipleship and study and worship and confession of sin and growth and turning away from idols. It was everything that the church should be if the gospel is true, and it is. And we all, when we read that, I think I could speak for all of us, and we say, I want to be part of a church like that. And we look around and we say, I am, in many ways, I am part of a church like that. That is what this body is and is becoming. And by God's grace, as we hold that vision in front of us, we will become more and more like that as we go forward. Let's take this year. Let's just say this year. One more question that we have to answer before we end. How do we become that? Because I read that and I get inspired. It's like, oh yeah, that's what church is supposed to. How do we be? The lights that are out. I'm like, oh. Sorry. Sorry for distracting you. Christmas is about sharing, right? If I'm distracted, I have to share that. Okay, focus. We're coming back. We're asking the question, how do we become that? We're inspired. We read it. We say, oh, that's what we, yes, I want to become more like that. By God's grace, we are like more like that. But how can we become more like that than we were yesterday? We have to be people, not a people, people, individuals. If I could point at everybody, you, me, people who individually live like the first followers of Christ did. That's the application for us today. That's the call on us. If you're a Christian, listen, a group of followers of Christ that live dedicated, sold out to their Lord and to his purpose, to the gospel, starts with individuals who live completely devoted to their Lord and to his purpose every day. That's what makes a group of people who does that. It's individuals who do that. Individuals, you and I, who as we get up in the morning, we reach for our Bibles before we do anything else. We pray as we go through our day. We sing to Jesus when nobody else can hear us, because that's all that's important, is we fast. We're a group of people who individually, you and I, we share our lives with each other. Not everybody. Not everybody with everybody, but everybody with some people. It's a group of people, individuals, you and I, who are actively discipling somebody else, who could say, this is the person who's not a Christian that I have my sights on and I'm working towards. And here's the person who's a Christian who I'm actively investing in and trying to help walk with the Lord better. It's a group of individuals like you and I who are always praying to the Father and pleading with him on behalf of their friends, the people who surround us who are not Christians, who talk to God about specific people on a regular basis because we want them to come to know him. It's a group of people, individuals, not everybody together, individually, who speak the gospel to other people around them as they go through the week, who don't just gather to hear one person speak the gospel, but as they go out through the week, you and I speak the gospel as we go through our lives to our children, to our spouse, to the people who work with us. We're always looking for opportunities to speak the gospel. And as I went down that list, what jumped out at you? What do you need to do to become more like that? Because as we all become more like that, together, more life comes into us collectively. God brings more growth to us collectively. We become a church that is fuller and fuller of the life of Christ. So if you're not a Christian and you're hearing all of that, I've said the word life a lot. And that is what Jesus offers to you. He offers you life. Being part of a family that is full of life starts by having his life inside of you. And that happens when you surrender to him. You say, you can be my Lord. You can be my boss. You can be the one who saves me and then directs my life. You do that when you repent and are baptized. And if you say, I need to do that. I need to do that. This is the beginning of a new year. What better time? I need to do that. Tell one of the men who's been up here, you can repent and be baptized. For those of us who are in Christ, who have his life in us, there's a verse that, it wasn't one of the ones that we looked at today. It's Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. I felt that we should reflect on this as we end by breaking bread together. Here's what the verse says. I am sure of this, that he who began a good work in you will bring it to completion at the day of Christ Jesus. And I read that and it's, he who began a good work in you, if you're a Christian, you, me, he who began a good work in y'all, in us, right? It's he who began a good work in us So reflect on that, because we're talking today in this month about that work becoming more and more complete, us becoming more and more the people of God that we should be together. And I read this and I say, he's promised to be doing that in us, to make it, to complete the work that he started in us. He doesn't bring us to where we are and then leave us. And why? What is that based on? Because he started the work in us. So as we take bread and juice and we remember Jesus on the cross, his body and his blood, remember when he started that work in you, when you were baptized, when he made you his child and made you be born again, when that body and blood became effectual for you and you became God's child. Remember that. And as we remember that, he started that work in me. We can also say he will carry it through to completion. He will make more of his life grow in me and in us together, because that's what he's done up until now. That's what he will continue to do. So we look forward to that as we celebrate the cross, and we look back and we say, thank you for starting that work in me. Let's pray and then remember Jesus together. God, we come to you and we thank you because you are good and kind and loving, and you blessed us more than we can even comprehend. But we know that you started a work in us. We remember when that happened, specifically when we came up out of the water and became your children. We thank you for Jesus and the cross and the reason that we can know that you will continue to work in us and through us. In his name we pray, amen. Let's take the bread together.